When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Just some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Did it go fast?
I mean, now that it's over, yeah.
But when you're going through it, kind of sucks.
Fast.
Oh, no shit.
What branch were you in?
I was in the Navy. I was a CB.
You were CB in the Navy as well? Oh, okay.
All right. So, shit, here we go, man. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I'm here with
Chris Higgins.
And my partner in crime, Mr. Bucky Byers himself, my co-host, the freaking Winter Soldier to the Captain America of poserness.
Carlos De Jesus.
Yeah, we're far from actually Captain America and Bucky Barnes. That's yeah.
The poserness. I heard that on one of your podcasts. I was like, oh, dude, is he with the dude that played Bucky Barnes?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be hilarious. No, you just get me.
That's cool, man. I'm glad you listened. He's like, I had to do a study up before I came out.
Yeah, I had to see if it was actually that guy.
Yeah. I said it before, and I'll say it again. This guy is fucking amazing. If you look at, after we get done doing this, please show me your reel, because that thing is pretty cool.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how many times I play Call of Duty or you know, over the years, and I play different video games, and then what was the one? Fucking Gears of War. I really love Gears of War. I almost got the gear with the skull tattoo.
Oh, my friend has that. My friend has that tattoo on his elbow.
There's this girl, Shelly. She works at FM99. She's really hot. She's on the radio there, and she's a friend of mine, you know, and she has that tattoo.
Oh, for real? Yeah. Oh, that's hot. Yeah. Big fan of that.
Yeah.
Terrible
at Gears of War.
You never played it?
No, I'm just bad at it. I mean, I haven't played in a long time.
But. Well, that's one of those ones, like, I feel like if you play with friends.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I did. But I would do that, and I would always die, and they would always get mad at me.
Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I would just try to do something stupid.
Dude,
and
stay back.
I would
stay
die.
Back.
Yep.
Don't. Hey, would they? Your call sign Leroy Jenkins from here on out. You know what I'm saying?
It might as well have been.
That's hilarious. That's a hell of a reference. That's like almost over 10 years old now,
dude. Yeah, but you're still, man. That's like. We still talk about that every once in a while. People are doing stupid shit in training. You're just like, dude, there's fucking Leroy Jenkins over here trying to run into fucking Combat Town. Yeah. All Leroy Jenkins and shit.
It's great. What a fucking... What a video. What a video that was.
I was heartbroken when I found out that was staged.
Was it the whole time?
Yes.
That's okay. That is heartbreaking.
Isn't it?
See, I didn't know that. But, I mean, it still doesn't take away from the fact that it was fucking hilarious.
It's still hilarious.
You know? But it sucks that it was staged, for sure.
My calculation, 633 and 7 to the third, and repeating, of course.
Hilarious.
I pulled some Leroy Jenkins shit in Call of Duty once, and that's how I found out what Leroy Jenkins is. This is like, dude, what are you doing? Some Leroy Jenkins stuff? And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I had to Google it. So everybody that's like wondering what the fuck we're talking about now, so anybody basically over, I'd say 45 years old.
Or under.
Just go YouTube Leroy Jenkins, man. So we're going to leave Leroy Jenkins at home for the rest of the podcast, hopefully. But we got Chris Higgins in the house. What's up, dog? So civilian, fresh.
Yeah.
How long?
Absolutely.
And you've been...
It was a month, 2 days ago, so it's...
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So look at the beard.
Freshly.
Aww.
Yeah, I know,
right? First thing you do, like right off the rip.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I'm loving it now. I'm a lot happier now that I don't have... the man watching over me at all times.
So, like, we were in what battalion? We're in?
4.
Hell yeah.
Where's that?
Hurrah 4. It's in...
It's in Wanimi.
Yeah, it was...
Fort Wanimi?
Yeah, Fort Wanimi.
Okay.
That was my second battalion. And CB4, they just got back, too, from Okinawa.
Yeah.
You're on that last deployment?
Yeah, I made it. I got sent home a little early, but...
Where were you?
I was in Diego Garcia.
Oh, shit, DJ.
Oh, how was that? That's a good place.
Sucks.
Really?
Now, if you're not deployed there, it's good. You know, and you're getting off at 1 o'clock on a Friday or on a Thursday and then have 3 days off. But if you're working Saturdays and Sundays, driving by the beach, it's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, watching everybody else fucking fishing.
While you work, for sure.
Yeah.
I had a buddy of mine, Bobby Mitchell. I'll say his name. He was on an island like Diego.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a, what's the one that we go to in the Bahamas? Andros. He was on Andros Island for deployment.
We don't even go there anymore.
I'm in Kuwait, right? It's when we dropped off. I think we just send. I think it's a Gulfport battalion now. It sends battalion people there, you know, because we split the oceans again. Like Gulfport goes, you know, east. Port Wenyuwe goes west, and then he's talking the whole time about being in Diego. I was like, or man, it fucking sucks, man. And Andros, sucks, man. All I do is I drink and fish. And that's all I can do. I go to work and I drink a fish, and I'm in Kuwait. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, dude?
Bro, oh man, that's rough.
That's hell.
Yeah, that's rough.
Where else did you deploy, man?
I went to Timor last and the Philippines.
Which one did you like the best?
Timor.
Timor.
Timor was my first deployment, and it was the best time of my entire life.
Why is that?
It was really simple. You get up, you work. You work out, and then you just drink. There's just so much drinking involved.
Yeah, that's how you pass the time.
Now, where's that place at?
It's an Indonesian island. It's near Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
I loved it.
I kept writing East Timor and on the updates when I was working at the division, but no, it's Timor Let's Day. I was like, okay, right.
Yeah, that was a fun time.
What'd you build there, man?
Well, we built a school for kindergarten for kindergartners, and then I got sent out. I helped restore a health clinic. Two or three. I built a shade structure for them, stuff like that. Fixed the doors, retiled the floors, stuff like that.
Nice.
And the point is like that, when you're working on the weekends, you kind of are happy to. Because it's what else are you going to do, but you actually feel like you're doing something for a community. Yeah.
That wasn't bad. It was we always had Sunday off, and then Saturday it was working, training, off, working, training, off.
Right.
And it stuck to that. This last deployment, it didn't matter. They were like, no, I'm just going to work.
Every working Saturday, every Saturday's working Saturday.
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow, that's rough, man. I can't imagine what that's like. That was Air Force.
the funny thing is
work.
We were in Okinawa, the fleet, basically the real Navy. People go on restriction, or after they have their Article 15, whatever you want to call it,
right.
They do that 45-45. They would send them to us, and then they would complain. Then they stopped doing it, I think, maybe 2-3 months into a deployment because they called it cruel and unusual punishment for these guys to work and do construction with us.
That's what they're doing right now in Okinawa. The red tags will just go out and do, bitch work at the project.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I think it's funny.
Hopefully they fucking keep it up, because that's when they stopped doing it a few years back, man.
I always hated, because I was security forces, which is basically military police or master of arms, whatever you have in the Navy.
Yeah.
And I'd always hate it when other squadrons would punish their troops by sending them to do my job.
Yeah, right?
I fucking hated that. It's like, all right, this is their punishment. How shitty is my job? You know, what the fuck is this? Where do I get sent just to do more work? Yeah. How bad is this? This is terrible.
That's shitty.
Yeah, I'm sure it's that's kind of what was happening with you guys over there. Did you feel that way? You would see them and be question, how bad is this job if they're doing this?
Work? I guess I was in Okinawa for 7 days just to get all my signatures and process out.
Oh, okay, that's where you got processed.
But that's what they were saying. They're like, they just go out to this site and they pick up rocks or wood or something like that.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
I think it's great. I mean, don't be an idiot.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't get caught.
For sure.
Clean up the expansion material off the shitty concrete.
Yeah, for sure. That's funny.
So it was the most fun. You said where it was, but what kind of other fun stuff did you do while you're in, or good stuff, or?
Deployments are all right. They're fun, but I love California now. I'm originally from Connecticut, and I'm staying here now.
Oh, no kidding. I'm from Connecticut as well.
Are you really?
Yeah,
where are you from?
Norwalk, Connecticut.
I'm from Meriden.
Oh, yeah. We used to play you in baseball all the time. Yeah, it was a Babe Ruth thing.
Yeah, South Meriden, literally. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no kidding. How long ago did you move out here? A month ago?
No, I was in the Navy out here since 2013.
Oh, okay.
I just got out of the Navy a month ago.
Okay. Okay, so you've just been in California this whole time, though.
But I love it here, and I want to stay.
For sure.
I'm a big sports fan, and there's a plethora of sports within 2 or 3 hours of here.
And the funny thing is, too, is you're such a big hockey fan, and people don't realize this is such a hotbed for hockey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got the Kings, right here, too.
Kings, Sharks, Ducks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Did you play any junior league or anything like that while you were...
No, I just play pickup and men's league stuff. When I was a kid, I was in roller hockey leagues, and I used to be really good. And
yeah,
just kind of tailed off. But Yeah.
What are you? So hockey's your favorite sport?
Yeah, hockey's my favorite sport.
Yeah. How did that happen? Normally, especially Connecticut, it's usually like football or baseball, well, basketball.
It's
actually,
the East Coast though. We love hockey up there.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We used to have the Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
That was a team that unfortunately went away.
Yeah.
What's the Wolf Pack?
Yeah, it's the Rangers AHL affiliate.
Oh, my goodness.
For 6 months, because I worked for the Norfolk Admirals, you know, and that was the Tampa Bay affiliate. Yep. For half the time, the other half was the Anaheim Ducks affiliate. And for like 6 months, remember the Whale changed their name?
Yeah,
I mean, the Wolfpack changed their name.
Yeah, they were the
Whale.
Connecticut Whale,
and they tried to bring back the Whalers.
They're
type
still
jerseys
trying to bring back.
And shit.
Oh,
the Whalers are never coming back, and that's what people don't realize.
Yeah, no, they've lost them for good.
Yeah, it's like, and the thing is too, is they just they have another expansion team going to Seattle.
Yeah,
they already sold like 30,000 tickets, like right.
They
off
did
the
better
bat.
Than Vegas did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a hockey team right now. Fucking
Jesus
Vegas.
Christ. Fucking awesome. That, well, the thing is the fucking Vegas reminds me of kind of like Seabees. The reason why I say that is because the entire group of people are all cast-offs. They're like people that like, we don't believe in you guys.
We're
like, you know what?
We're not going to protect
you. Fuck you. You know what? We'll prove you wrong. You know, and then everything they do, no matter what, it's just more to write in a history book. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, it's an expansion team that is just, they're on their way to the conference final.
Yeah, they play tonight.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, man.
So you're that deep where you watch like the amateur up and coming leagues kind of deal, I guess, the affiliate leagues and stuff.
It was only 20, 25 minutes from my house.
I guess that's true.
So I'd watch that.
That's true.
And the cool thing is the AHL, though, I mean, so many people are coming up and down, so you kind of have to. After you watch the draft, you have to, not so much watch, but you got to kind of pay attention to what's going on in the farm club.
Yeah.
Because, like, unlike any other sport, there are more injuries in hockey. And so you constantly know who's going to fill that third, fourth line. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So back to the military stuff, dude. Like, what made you go in the Navy?
My dad and my grandpa were both in the Navy.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of always wanted to do it. And
were they also Seabees?
No, my grandpa was a gunner's mate, and my dad was an operations specialist.
We used to call OS is obviously stupid. It was like one of my best friends is OS. He's probably listening right now. Scotty Signs, I love you, brother. You're still obviously stupid.
Nice. You come from a long line of military people.
Yeah,
did they push you? Like, was it kind of like a thing where they were kind of like, oh, it'd be cool, like subtly kind of push you
to
do it?
No, not really, not at all. They never, I mean, they would talk about it, but.
Right, it was never a thing.
It
where
was never
like,
you should probably join the Navy.
Right. Because I know I've met a lot of people like that. They come from like military families and, you know, they get kind of like, not pushed, but kind of coerced in a sense to kind of do it. Like, hey, follow
the family
lineage, you know, that kind of deal.
They were both only in for, 4 years? Like, my grandpa was in World War II, so I actually don't know how long he was in, but, I mean, he didn't retire. No one in my family is retired.
No, nobody's a 20-year?
No.
Not like this old fuck over here?
Yeah. No one's done that. Everyone's smart enough to get out when they have a chance, on their first chance.
No, that's totally cool. And it's changed a lot. It's so much more PC now than it was in the time frame I went through.
It's changed even when I got in
from
5 years ago.
Well, like, I always wondered about this. Like, since you, during your time frame, somewhere in the middle of it, they got rid of the name man and everything. Remember
that?
Yeah,
for a little bit.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Dude, how'd that make you feel, man?
It's weird. I think it's stupid.
They brought it back, though.
Yeah, most people that I know don't get offended by it. Like,
right.
The thing is, like, you join the military and you're supposed to form to them. The military is not supposed to form to, like, you.
Right.
So
there's a lot of people who are complaining, like, man was in titles. So they, like, all they instead
C-man
of
it'd be C person or whatever.
So we went from an MOS to an NOS, and that lasted like 6-8 months.
That sounds so ridiculous,
right?
So you know, especially for the military. So what was that like? Like, did you ever hear anybody get in trouble for doing this kind of stuff?
Or? No, because most people don't care. Like, most people are like, whatever. Like,
right. I'd imagine military people are very much like,
yeah, it's the outside.
Okay.
And then, like, what happened was there's such a big backlash that that's what I was wondering if you're part of that, because it's such a big backlash. Make a long story short, everybody's like, yeah, man, that's bullshit. We were AO, Aviation Ordnance Man, Bolson's mate. And, you know,
when they got rid of the rates and we all had like numbers and letters, there was a lot of backlash over that because one of the Master Chiefs, he came and he was like, yeah, I was on the committee to do this. And everyone was like, what the fuck?
What's your fucking deal, dude?
Like, people were like, you know, we take pride in like.
Do you remember who that was by chance?
No, I don't remember.
Could you explain the numbers thing?
It was so, because the Army, Marines have MOSs, and it's like.
Our buddy Shoddy, who was on here not so long ago, he, 0311, infantry, that's sort of like, okay. That's like, you know.
Something like that, so builders were like H100, and then.
And I was like an H600 or some shit for a steelworker.
And then you would change, instead of calling it like a BU1, or it'd be a PO1, like you'd have to say that, like petty officer or whatever.
And then the funny thing is before that too is like when somebody calls you a petty officer and they don't call you by your rate, you're like, what, you think I don't know my rate? Yeah. You know, so it's like, hey petty officer, I'm like, hey petty officer first class, it's like, whoa, I was a steelworker first class, dude. I'm not a petty officer.
There was a lot of backlash over that. Most of the time we just called each other whatever, because I mean, if you've been in for 15 years and you've been BU1 or SW1 or SW2, like, what the fuck? I want to still be called that.
Right.
If you could go back to, like, talk to younger Chris and be like, hey, dude, what's some advice that you could give me before I go in? What would you tell yourself?
Don't go in.
No, really?
No. I mean, we all make those jokes, but I don't regret my decision to join. I think it was a good stepping stone for me. I think it might have been a... probably save a little more money, you know. Don't be so stupid with your money.
I never like got a Mustang
at 30% interest. I never did that.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I've met so many people like that.
I'm never one of the guys like those E3s that has a Corvette and can't drive it because you can't afford to insure it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I would, God, that's a good one. I'm not really sure. What would I tell myself? Yeah. Save money and just try to even soak up more knowledge than I did. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm pretty good at what I did, but, you know, I think the times where it's a Friday or something and it's like 1 o'clock and you're in a crew serve class and you're like, I just want to leave. Like, fuck
this 240 like, Bravo. Yeah. I don't care about its cycling.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Like stuff like that. I just maybe pay a little more attention. You know, like even the medical stuff.
Yeah.
Like dude, that's sitting through a week of CLS eventually gets boring.
Combat Lifesaver class. Yeah. What I used to love about Combat Lifesaver class is that you get to stick each other and give each other IVs. That was so fun.
I didn't do that.
You guys
didn't
hangover.
Get a chance to do that?
No.
In the class, like you had to like actually stick each other with fucking needles.
I would not trust you.
You have to hold a bag and stuff. But the thing was, is you knew that whoever you're sticking was going to stick you back. So you better not fuck up because they'll fuck with you. You know what I mean? So it's actually, you're legit trying to do this. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you don't want to get.
We did the fucking nose hose in ECS.
No, describe the nose hose.
The way, yeah. You've obviously done it. Did you ever do the nose hose?
No.
Oh, well, other than cocaine, I really haven't done it either.
It's just this weird rubber hose tube. There's like a blockage like through your mouth, you can't breathe. You like stick it into your nose and it goes down into your throat, kind of.
Oh, okay,
it's
like right.
Really unpleasant feeling. It's really weird feeling.
Mm.
That's probably what they did a practical application to substitute for the sticking people with needles in their arms.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because that's in everybody's IFAC, individual first aid kits.
Mm-hmm. They have new ones now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're a lot nicer and they come with like
How new?
Well, new to us.
Probably like 10 years, 20 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like the new ones. Yeah, like what do you mean by new? Like last
like completely,
year or
two? I think I got it a year or two ago.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it wasn't even on my PGI list, so I got to keep it. And it came with like two tourniquets, like not the ones
the
that you just
ones?
Yeah, the yeah. really, and I leave it in my car.
I got one in my car
for sure.
Too.
I was like, if someone's gonna bleed out, it's gonna be in a car accident.
Mm-hmm. Wait, here's the funny thing, and this might help anybody else that wants to get away with some bullshit in traffic. Like I keep mine, not right now because I brought Jill to work today. But bring your roomie to work day. Now, like, you snap it onto your headrest on your passenger side, so mm-hmm. it stays on there. Whenever you get pulled over, a cop will, like, look in, and he'll just automatically look at that. And then he'll just, like, automatically be like, oh, I get it. You're actually a medical person, or you're prior service, you know, and that's
pretty you're just cool. a weirdo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You could be, you know, it could be definitely that. That is definitely a guess. So yeah, now that you're out, what are you doing?
I got a job in Santa Barbara doing roofing right now, which I like a lot. It's not too bad. It's not 100 degrees
right.
deployment. I'm not in the uniform. Santa Barbara's nice. Yesterday it was cloudy all day. It was perfect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You don't get that much here in California.
Yeah.
But that's dope. So you've been doing that for a month now, or have you been doing that since you've been here, just traveling from the naval base to Santa Barbara?
Yeah, I was with my I had a girlfriend for a little bit. I was going from LA to Santa Barbara, and then that didn't work out.
Yeah.
So now I'm in Oxnard, which is a little bit. So I've had it for about 3 weeks.
Very nice.
Cool. Were you able to keep your body armor, because you might need that to live in Oxnard?
No, I wish they let us keep a lot of stuff, but.
You didn't acquire anything?
Wait. You're fresh out of the military. Maybe you don't want to say that right now, because you never know who in supply is listening. You hear that big freaking scandal that happened in Port Hueneme?
What happened?
Yeah, it didn't have to do... Are you talking about the one that...
This Fleetside.
But it was Singapore? Right?
No, just the other day. There was like $3 million of unaccounted shit in one of the supply warehouses up in Port Hueneme. Yeah. Yeah, so...
Jesus.
Yeah, so there's like a big thing going on. There's a lot of people under investigation right now for unaccounted gear, but it's mostly fleet stuff. So I was like, somebody posted it like, what's your, about Stevie's without reading the entire article? Mm-hmm. I'm like, nah, it was your side of the house, bro.
Well, the funny thing is, too, it's so much money because the military loves to overcharge for that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like that backpack, I had that, and I was like, I want to keep it. And they're like, yeah, it's $200. And I was like, no. No. Okay, fuck, you can have it back. I love that backpack, but
let's go to the Army surplus store and get that for like $60.
I was missing some stuff for my friends. Like, I'm missing this. I was like, go to like an Army Navy store.
Yeah,
they'll have
that exact thing.
There.
Yeah,
go buy an e-tool there.
There's like, especially if like you're outside any place. If you need anything, go outside Lejeune or Pendleton. If you need that kind of gear, just drive down there. It's so much cheaper, and just to pay the gas money to go down to Camp Pendleton and spend like a couple dollars.
Yeah.
They had Saigon Sam's. It's like one of my favorite places. That's in by Camp Lejeune, and there's like a shit ton of them. And all it is just gear. It looks like a flea market that was bombed once in the 70s, but it's still a good place.
Yeah.
So like when you punched out, you went through, did you go through like a GPS tap class?
Yeah, I went through GPS capstone.
What's that like now?
It's pretty good. There's a lot of good information.
So much in a short time.
A lot, and some of the people are pretty boring and dry, and
yeah.
So that sucks, but there's a lot of good info. I see why they make you go through it.
Right.
So
what happens in it? I don't think I know this class, the GPS class.
It's just like a transitioning class. They'll teach you how to write a resume and how to do some interviews. They'll teach you about the VA, VA loans, setting a budget, all that.
Yeah. Okay, so it's just basically
preparing you to get a job.
It's like being waterboarded with information.
Yeah, that sounds fucking boring.
It's like, and that's what sucks, but they have a lot of good information, but the way it's presented, that's the part that sucks. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like basically instead, here, you get a new car, put it together yourself. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You know, there's probably nuts and bolts missing, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's all right.
You just deal with it.
3 months of stuff that you need to know in, like 4 days.
Yeah.
And then like three of it's resume writing. On like how to write a resume.
I hate resumes. They're fucking worst.
I'm not going to need to write a resume ever, because with what I do, I'm never writing a resume.
Goddamn artist.
I'm artist, motherfucker. Fuck off. Suck me dick. I'm an artist. Why did I just turn into the Muppets fucking chef? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Fuck yeah. So, like, You did your VA stuff? What'd you do?
I haven't done the VA stuff yet. It's like,
are you still on terminal leave? Or are you out?
No, I'm out. You're out. I like haven't done it yet, which I know is stupid of me, but there was a lot to do in the last like 2 weeks.
Right.
And I also like there's nothing crazy wrong with me.
Okay.
Either I don't think I'd get, honestly, I don't even think I'm gonna get anything. Right. I still need to.
But
do
you always got to check. You know, yeah. You always got to make sure. Well, if you can get something, you know, it's better than nothing.
Being a CB, your ears are always messed
up.
My
ears are fucked up.
Yeah, your back might be, you know, there's a lot of weight that you were carrying. You know, you're just a little bit sore here and there.
The thing is this, so if, here's one thing that, you're in a position where a lot of vets put themselves in, is like, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But the thing is you don't realize that there are things that you need to have a 0% rating for. If you have a 0% rating, what that means is that you didn't go in for a reconsideration, and then that goes from zero to whatever. You can go from zero to whatever percentage you are. So say like if your back is fucked up or you popped your wrist or you did something while you're in, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's fine, but get it in your record so that later on when it does get bad or worse, then, you know, they can.
Yeah, you're right. It's laziness on my part.
It's easy to get there too. Yeah. You know, there's a couple different people that hit you with. Joel Castellanos, he was on here a while back. He's a good dude to have. And what is it? Freaking, he'll sit down with you and go over your stuff.
Yeah.
But definitely get that shit in there, because what happens is I think as veterans that we get so caught up in the whole like fuck being a slip bay commando. You know what I mean? Like nobody ever wants to be that guy. You know, and you see the one person that goes there all the fucking time because they keep removing their own tooth or whatever the hell it is. You know, they just keep waddling their tooth out. Like, oh, look what fell out again. Yeah, the one you've been working on for 3 fucking hours. Oh, yeah, we've seen why that tooth fell out.
Yeah.
You know, you got that cat or somebody else is like, oh, my ankle hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, again? Well, what the fuck? Yeah, and we see that one person that just wants to get out of work, and then we get mad at that person. We don't want to become that person, but we're not. We're just trying to get what's rightfully ours. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he went through the whole thing.
But at the same time,
he's mansplaining it right now.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're all PC here.
Yeah, I noticed.
We're all super PC.
Fuck yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You better not call me by a gender.
God.
Yeah, well,
so is that what it's really like in the military? Is that kind of like a thing that's being like kind of pushed, like kind of like gender, like politics, essentially identity politics in a sense?
I mean, kind of, sort of.
Well,
the
whole
transgender thing right now with Trump and Mad Dog.
Yeah.
It's kind of up in the air. I don't know where that's going, but I mean, I know a couple people that were like trying to transition and whatnot, and it like, we went through training on it once, and it was like they're not whatever gender they want to be until Deers says they're a male or female.
Yeah, because like that was that time frame where there was that time I was still in when Obama was saying that anybody can come in if you want. And it's like, whoa. Yeah. And then people are like, well, what if they want to fight for their country? I'm like, you know how many people I know that are colorblind that would love to fight for our country too? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I'm colorblind.
They can't. You know what I mean? But. Or they have they're missing a finger or something. There's something else that, you know, there's some physical ailment. They'd love to do that. There's so many people that'd love to serve their country. Yeah, but
I mean,
you know.
I personally don't care if they're transgender.
Like, yeah, that's
if
whatever.
You can do it.
Yeah.
The thing is the only time I'd care is if you're on CDD. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in a deployable unit and you're going to go for this operation, wait till you're on shore duty. You know what I mean? Like that's the only way I care, because you're making yourself mission out. You're non-essential now, because we need every essential personnel to deploy.
Right.
But when we get back and it's time for you to transfer to garrison or, you know, shore duty, fucking do it, dude.
Yeah.
I don't care if you left as a pitcher and come back as a catcher. I don't care.
Yeah,
you know
for sure.
I just stay in the ball game. That's fun.
Most people's arguments, though, is essentially like one is that, and then it's like it costs too much money. There's a lot of money involved with like if people want to do that, especially with hormone pills and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a lot of people's issue with it. But honestly, I don't think it really matters that much, you know.
And some people think that it's a mental illness. You know,
I mean, what is the mental illness, though?
Right.
You know what
well,
I
like,
mean?
Like, I
how,
thinking,
do you, how do you even describe that?
I don't know. I live in West Hollywood. We live in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's just like everybody here is, if you want to be a princess and a fucking butterfly.
Yeah. But I mean, that could also be defined as mentally ill. You know what I mean? It's such a hard thing to even like classify. Well, is the way that that person feels mentally ill or not? Because to a person who feels like it's not a normal thing, yeah, that person is mentally ill. But then for another person, it's completely opposite. They're like, oh no, this person's just really truly expressing. Because I felt maybe in some points in my life that I wasn't this person that I was, you know, like so it's sort of an empathy.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people think it's like you know, just like piercing your ear, you know what I mean? Nobody gives a shit about piercing your ear, and then people are like, dude, that's just like cutting a fucking finger off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's cutting a fucking dick off.
So yeah, dude's cutting his dick off. So it's just kind of like, you know, well, I don't know. That's where I'm like, well, you're kind of self mutilation, but
I think it's weird. It's a little
for sure. You know,
it's not.
I don't hold anything against him. I'm not. This person's gonna hate him or whatever.
I think it's like eating ketchup with ice cream. I can't do it, but hey, if you're into that shit, fine, by all means.
Yeah, for sure.
Ice cream. Yeah. You can still do your job. You can still go to the concrete pour or whatever. You can do all that shit. I mean,
I remember like when they got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. When that went away, I was happy because I'm like, good, finally people can be who the fuck they want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because like,
I mean, it never fucking mattered.
No, it didn't because I mean,
and I had people, so many friends. Exactly. Like, it never fucking mattered.
Air Force, so,
yeah. Also, if, I mean, you guys have the reputation, Navy.
Well, dude, we had the village people. Seaman. What are you talking about, brother? Yeah. But no, you know, people could actually be who the fuck they wanted to be. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that was just like cool. You know, and it's just like, I'm comfortable with who I am. You know what I mean? It's just like, be as long as you're comfortable with who you are, why do you even give a fuck?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But shit, man. It's kind of crazy how a lot of the transitions, just in the year, you know, 5 years, right?
Yeah, 5 years.
Just in that time frame, you know?
Oh, that's an odd time frame. Usually, isn't it usually like 4 or 6?
No, for us, it's always five.
It's always five for Navy?
We get four. No, no, for
last
for
year's
CBs.
For CBs, okay.
Yeah, because we do 4 years of the contract and then 1 year for the extension.
1 year extension.
Yeah, and then, oh, what is it? If you turbo crow it.
God.
It's so, like, what happens is.
What's turbo crow?
You get, like, you know how, like, you go to your A-school or your MOS training or whatever you want to call it? The number one kid in the class.
Oh, okay.
He gets to get auto E4, but you have to sign
a 1 year extension
on top of your 1 year extension.
So you were that?
No, I wasn't that.
Oh, so you had to do? Oh, so they would be a 6 year thing?
Yeah, it would be mandatory.
Fuck.
And
that.
I would think like a couple of my friends did it, and I was just like, thank God my dumb ass didn't do it, because back then I would have been like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be an E4, like
yeah
I'm staying
sure,
in the Navy for
sure.
life, and I would be like, I hate my life. What stupid.
Yeah, and 6 years is definitely at that point where people mostly regret staying in longer than they should have, or they decide that they're going to be in there for at least 10 years. you know?
Because that's ballpark time where it's time to reenlist. And I think if you're going to roll, like, you know, I always, you know, try to say if they're a good troop, I'm like, dude, just stick it out, dude. You know what I mean? But if it's time to go, what I always hate are the people that judge you. You know what I mean? Like, for did anybody do that to you?
For getting out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've always advocated, like, if you don't like it, just get out. Like,
right.
And I've always said the fear of, like, not having something when you get out shouldn't keep you in. Because a lot of my friends, like, I have, like, 8 months, whatever, like, I think I might just reenlist just because it's a good, easy paycheck. And it's like, dude, like, the CBs give you skills for life.
Yeah.
I mean, being a Marine is cool and all, you know, but sometimes, what did you do in your service? Like, kick down doors and shot people in the face. Like,
right.
That doesn't necessarily translate to the outside. Like, have you seen The Pacific?
Yeah, though. Remember
at the end?
Actually, no, I still have to see that. I watched Band of Brothers is what I was thinking of.
Have you seen The Pacific?
No, I have not yet.
Well, at the end, like after the war's over.
Some Amazon Prime Q.
you should watch. It's fantastic. But at the very end, this isn't a spoiler.
Okay,
you know, the war's over, and one of the dudes, he's like applying for college.
Thanos snaps his fingers?
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
But, I mean, Facebook's kind of given me.
Of course.
Exactly everything I need to know.
So go on.
So at the end, he's like applying for college, and it's like a job fair college thing, whatever. And the woman's talking to him, and she's like, well, do you have any skills? He's like, oh, I was in the Marines. I was a mortarman. She's like, what about this? He's like, no. Like all these things. She's like, isn't there anything the Marines taught you like that could translate? And he's like, they taught me how to kill, and I got really good at it. But with the CBs, like, I like construction anyway, so I wanted to do it. So
right, right.
I mean, mechanics, equipment operators, yeah, stuff like that, that translates. I mean, there's no disrespect to the Marines or Army. We need people to do that.
Yeah.
And imagine it's so much more harder to transfer from military life to civilian life as those definite types of jobs. And they probably are the ones that give you the shit for like leaving, because it's like, oh, they don't know what they would do. So it's like, well, haha, you're a pussy for getting out, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's right, though.
But yeah, people will be like, why are you getting out? Just stay in. It's like,
it's not for
like
you.
I said, I don't regret joining. I think it's a great stepping stone, and I know my time is up. I wouldn't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you when you say, like, people don't stay in just for the sake of not wanting to do. That's people stay in marriages for the sake of kids. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you know, you're kind of fucking other people, because there's a lot of people who want to stick around and they want to move up in rank and stuff like that, you know? And if you're going to do your time and you're doing it honorably, and that's what used to frustrate me as a leader, is when you'd have someone be like, well, fuck him, he's getting out anyway. That's never a thing. Mm-hmm. Well, why say fuck him, he's getting out anyway? This guy's kicking ass and he's going to do his time honorably up until it's time to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Why cast this guy aside and say, fuck him, he's getting out anyway.
I mean,
you're just going against your own, essentially.
Even like me, people be like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm just looking for jobs. And I know they're thinking like, oh, you're an idiot. You have nothing going for it. And then a week after I got out, I got a job.
Yeah, there's so many people that are so in their box that they think that if you get out, there's nothing out there.
Yeah, that's more like the higher up, like, so the really institutionalized people.
I totally agree, and that's why a lot of times when I'm like, hey man, what are you doing? You're gonna get out? All right, don't fucking tell people that. Just say you're weighing out your options.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's none of their business.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, it's like, who gives a fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Because fuck their opinion too.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, you should stay. Oh, there's nothing in the outside world. Like,
I mean, look at
that's a lie.
Like, yeah, if you look at Carlos and I, are two dudes that are fucking doing stand up comedy living in Hollywood, California. You know. And who's like gonna tell us that, you know, like, oh, I want to be a comic. you know, the skill sets that you need to go back to an office and, you know.
Yeah. Nah, there's so much to do. It's hard, obviously. It's hard to like I'd imagine to adjust to like civilian life once you've been in military life and like you have. Because, like, you hear all these things about, like, high unemployment rates and all these things, so you get scared immediately, and then, you know, growing up, you're probably just generally, like, told that, oh, yeah, there's only specific jobs you can do. Nobody really tells you that there's other avenues, like artistic style avenues or anything like that, you know? Like, if you would have told me that I would be doing this, like, when I got out of the military, I probably would have never been, I probably would have been like, there's no way, you can't do that thing. That's not, that's not a thing people can do, even though all throughout my life I've watched people do this, but I've never thought this was a thing until I started doing it, you know? But like, nobody had ever told.
Oh, I totally agree, man. Like, I think I was 14 years in the military before, you know, 12, 14 before I even hung at the Comedy Store. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I didn't know people could just be comics.
Yeah, no idea.
Number one, be funny, you know, obviously. But and then number two, just have ambition, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, where we are.
Yeah.
The cool thing is, still talking about skill sets and stuff, walking out of the CBs, one thing that's very fortunate is I was a welder by trade the whole time, and I'm sitting in a job interview, and a guy asked if I'd driven trucks, and I'm like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Now I drive a fucking RV for a rock station, you know, like the number one one of the number one rock stations in the world. And it's all because of the skills that I got out of being the CBs, you know, which that's helped me a lot in the comedy world, because I'll go and I'll do like Levity Live in Oxnard or something, you know, or just do some comedy club, and when they list off your credits before you go up, it's like, oh, and this guy, you might have seen him on Comedy Central, you might have seen him, blah, 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 and he's also the RV driver, Frosty High and Frank. There's never, and never fails, there's always one in the back going, woo! Woo! Yeah! Frosty High and Frank! It happens all the time. It's fucking great. I'm not kidding, dude.
Oh man, I wish I had a warning for that.
That was hella loud.
I didn't even do it in the microphone. That's the best
part. Yeah, that's the best part about it. You were yelling at the wall.
I don't know if anyone's going to tell the difference.
Now, my skills as a security force is transferred over. I went from checking IDs at the gate of the base to checking IDs at the doors here. So, you know,
yeah,
fully translated to security
are
guard.
You the, I listened to one of the podcasts. Are you the clicker dude?
I used to be one of the clicker
the one
dudes.
The dude is like, yeah, I just made up this job and they gave me a clicker.
Oh, that was Brian talking about one. No, it was Brian talking about one of the cats. Remember that?
The Marine.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I was like, yeah, it was the last one. Does this sound good?
Yeah.
The thing is, Brian was all apologizing on the way up. Man, I'm so sorry I talked about that.
Nah, it's all good.
No, I listened to that on the ride up here.
Here, dude.
And I thought it was awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, this is the dude that did the Pacific Rim movies and stuff like that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Are you the virtual reality guy right now?
Yeah.
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 The stuff you can't talk about?
Well, yeah, no, I can't really say anything right now about that stuff. Not right now. Not really. It's gonna be cool, and the cool thing is that they'll be like put in like select theaters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So the whole concept is gonna be seen by people, which is pretty cool. But other than that, I can't really say much else. You know, it's fucking cool. I'm overwhelmed for sure. But like, yeah,
that's some like fucking Navy SEAL shit, but on the internet.
Yeah. How bad do you want to tell people,
dude? I really.
Pretty, I mean, like, I would love to talk about it. Like, that's the whole thing about these kind of jobs is that, like, because, like, I was telling him, I don't know if we talked about this on radio, but I worked on Pacific Rim, it was like maybe a year and a half before the movie came out. Mm-hmm. So, for a year and a half, people have been asking me, well, what do you, how was your day? Like, what are you doing? Like, the basic conversation starters. And I'm like, well, I can't really talk about it. So my conversation just dies, you know, because they're like, oh, well, you work on cool stuff, right? And I'm like, eh, you know, let's move on.
And stuff.
Let's move on conversation.
Did you work on the second one, too?
Yeah, just that I worked on the second one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, not
I
the
heard
first
that
one.
Wasn't as good as the first one.
I had my qualms with it.
seen the second one, but.
The fight scenes are really cool. Yeah. The fight scenes are really cool. The CG is dope. So definitely,
yeah,
definitely that.
There's definitely CG's come a long way.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember when it just looked like fucking spray paint on something, and I was like, oh wow, they really did something.
Yeah, right.
Or like it was like I think a House of a Thousand Corpses. There was like some blood splatter that they CGI'd in there. I'm like, this is so bad.
Blood is one of the hardest things
this
to do any kind of liquid.
So bad.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't know that. No, that makes sense then.
So what,
or like the Hulk forever, they're trying to do the Hulk right.
Oh yeah, yeah. They finally got him right, but for a while,
now,
yeah, for a while for sure. So what do you got? What do you got going on now? That like, I guess from now, like next, what's your next thing to do?
I don't really know yet. I'm just gonna stay at this job and keep going, and maybe I don't plan on staying in this job for 30 or 40 years, but
right.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I like it.
Because you like construction and all that stuff, so
And the cool thing is, there's always places for bees. You know, as long as people need houses,
I've talked about that with a lot of people. I think a lot of people sleep on blue collar labor right now. Like kids, like I need to go to college to get money. Which I mean,
that's
I'm not
about
trash
that.
Talking white collar. Like you need that, but what's something people are always going to need? Houses.
Yeah,
you need someone to build it. You need someone to wire it. You need someone to put the AC in. You need someone to put the plumbing in.
When I was
absolutely
when I was a teenager and back in the 1500s. No, but that was one of the things too. They're talking about an influx on needing welders. Like, and you know, they're talking 2000. Here we are, 2018, and they're like they're going to be needing an influx because people weren't going to school back then.
Yeah.
You know, in the 90s,
right.
for welding and carpentry and plumbing. And
yeah, it's a lucrative market.
Yeah, I mean that's like you're talking 20.
Yeah, because nobody really wants to do manual labor nowadays. Everything's
yeah,
so like myself is very much tech based. You know, like everybody's trying to go tech based. It seems to be where all the money is, but it's also very expensive to live in those areas.
Yeah.
There's a buddy of mine, Pat Akison. He's a builder. He was a builder. He got out, not by his decision, but you know, he's in Port Hueneme area doing a lot of construction. So I can't wait to have him on here sometime. But he's got a really cool, interesting story. But yeah, I'll definitely pass your name on to him because they do all kinds of building. They build like apartment complexes and he does all kinds of cool shit. For a
That's
while, he worked
dope.
At a golf bag manufacturing place, and I ended up like three or four different Cobra golf bags. I was like, "Fuck yeah,
nice!"
The tripod ones, where you know,
nice,
hell yeah, hell like when they were first brand new tripod golf bags.
That's awesome.
But yeah, man, there's a couple different programs out there too. I'll definitely try to hook you up with that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Separating CBs. There's a separating CB page just for CBs that it's a group just for CBs looking for jobs, you know, because we're looking for skill sets and stuff like that. And but you're definitely trying to stay around the Wainimi area.
Yeah, I mean, in California.
Yeah, it's just, I mean.
So you go down to San Diego then, huh?
I haven't been to San Diego in a long time. Really? I mean,
would you relocate down there if you need a job?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm at the point where I'd go anywhere.
Fuck yeah, Derek Schmitty. He was on the show too. Good buddy of mine. My first crew leader ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, owns Builders West down in San Diego. Here, plug for Builders West if you need any construction quality done by former Navy Seabees.
There you go.
Builders West, Derek Schmitty, Google that stuff, blah, blah, blah. Anyway,
free advertising.
Yeah. And he's taking me fishing, so he better fucking get advertising. No.
Get me a fish.
Well, yeah, so there you go, man. There's another place, too, if you want to look into it. Or if you
need absolutely.
For all your building supplies. No, yeah, it was him and Keith Foster. He was a retired chief, and a you know, those two, they had a company. And then Keith went back to the East Coast to be close to the family or something. And then Schmitty runs that. It's doing pretty fucking good, dude.
Nice.
So if you ever need any extra work.
Yeah, awesome.
Sand Dog.
It's good to know all that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else going on? Anything special? Nothing like that?
No, nothing like that.
Yeah. Feeling good to be free?
Yeah, I feel so good.
Do you feel lost yet?
No, I mean, maybe it's a little, it's different. I saw something on Facebook, and you even commented on it, about like veterans need to explain how lonely they are after the...
Oh, fucking, Dan McKee posted that.
Yeah, he posted that, and... I mean, it's only been a month for me, and I was only in for 5 years, and, you know, I never saw war, so I don't experience all the stuff that guys like you who are in forever
The thing is, too, it's not so much just guys like me that's been in forever. It's people that just been part of a community that was tight.
Yeah.
You know, and then CBs, people don't get, is we're such a really fucking small and tight-knit community.
Yeah.
That when you leave, you lose that sense of community.
Yeah, and a lot really of this hurts. Stuff is true, like... After work, where I work now, we all just go our separate ways. No one wants to hang out after, which is whatever, but the article's pretty good. I thought it was good. I mean, I've only been out for a month, so.
Right. And I think a buddy of mine, you know Sean Halpin, right?
Yeah, I know Sean Halpin.
Fucking great guy. You know, good pal. And he was telling me, are you ready to get out? I was like, I can't wait to get the fuck out. I'm done with this shit. You know, this is like before my last deployment. My last deployment was to Okinawa. I left out at NMCB3. And he was like, you know, it's gonna get dark when you get out. And I'm like, bullshit. Within like 2 months, I'm like, God damn. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like at first, the first month, I'm just like, hell yeah, let's fucking party. And I went on a road trip around the entire United States. I drove all the way up north to Oregon.
Oh, that's
dope. The northern path all the way.
That's sweet.
Swung down to Virginia Beach, went down to Florida, took the southern path back. And nice. I stayed at so many friends' houses. I hung out with so many ex-tripper girlfriends. You know, so it's just basically partying and fucking around the entire United States. Yeah. It was the best. But then, you know, a couple months later, just because you know exactly where you stand, you know, every day, you know, how much you're going to get paid on the 1st and the 15th. And I think it's interesting when that goes away, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think definitely. Getting a job pretty quickly after helped
with that. Yeah.
Because I'm not just sitting around
watching
TV, drinking beer.
You're not, I probably already asked this, but you're not on terminal right now. You're
I'm out.
He's out.
So, yeah.
I actually didn't take terminal. I sold back like 45 days of leave.
Fuck yeah.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah. I was originally going to take 60 days of terminal, and the battalion's like, no, on deployment, you can only take 30. So they were like, if you take terminal, you go to Oki. If you don't, you'll go to Diego. And I was like, you know, join the Navy to see the world. I might as well just go to Diego.
Right, might as well go to an island.
And so I sold them back like 45 days, and they gave me like $3,000.
Oh, okay. All right. That's not too bad at all then. That's not that bad. It's a nice little start.
I mean, on deployment, I was like, I should have just taken terminal. I could be out right now. Yeah. It's over. I was like, whatever.
Yeah, it's so good like when it's all said and done behind you. Because what I did was my last deployment, I didn't do shit. Like, I hung out with the first class mess, like, the entire deployment.
Yeah.
I just hung out with the guys and, you know, and I go hang out, you know, the Hilton is the Hilton's big barracks that for E5 and below, basically. And I go down the Hilton, I just hang out with the cats down there and make sure she didn't get too rowdy. And if it did get rowdy, I'd be like, get the fuck to your room, dude.
Yeah.
No,
for sure.
No. Don't try. Don't apologize right now. Apologize when you're sober tomorrow and get back in your fucking room.
Yeah, and it's funny too with deployments because, at least for me, and I think it's for everyone, no matter how great it is, you always think it's shitty. You're like, this is the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine going into Afghan or Iraq, stuff like that. But even like I say, I love Timor, that deployment. But when I was on it, I was like, this is fucking stupid. Well, I hate this shit.
The thing is, though, the thing that you walk away is because that right there, it's a life changing event because you felt. Well, I mean, you're obviously stuck in something, but you felt committed.
Yeah.
You know, you felt like a part of something, you know, and you knew exactly that this shit needs to revolve around us right now. So you felt like this is us. This is what we got going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird, too, because you go on effects, and when you come back from a field exercise, then you play war for fucking 2 weeks in the field, and then you're like, you come back, you're like, man, I don't have a mission anymore. You know,
I went on 3 fexes, and which it isn't a lot, and I'm glad. But they were pretty easy for me because my first one I was UCT support.
Oh, nice!
So all I did was drive their medical vehicle and sleep.
The underwater next, construction team, that is. Yeah.
And the next one I was CSE.
And Convoy Security is awesome on fexes, dude.
That was the last one because after FEX was over, we rolled an MRAP. That was us.
Oops.
Yeah, and now they don't use MRAPs anymore. But FEX was over. Like, we weren't even on a... We were bringing them back to Blackjack to be, like, hauled back at a later date.
And you rolled it?
I didn't roll it.
Okay.
Well, two of my friends were in one, and they... I don't know what happened. He overcompensated for a turn and just rolled the whole thing, yeah. I almost got in that one. I'm glad I didn't. But, yeah, and then this last FEX... I was like, this is it. I had only sat one pit watch the entire time.
Yeah.
I was like, this is it. I'm going to be in the pit the entire time. And out of nowhere, they're like, you're on the CSE. So I just was in a turret. And I've only been in one pit, but I sat in the turret. Through 2 fexes enough to make up for it. And people think it's, oh, you're in the AC. You know, not when you're in the turret. Not when it's 5 a.m. and you're rolling down the road at 45 miles an hour, freezing.
Rolling thunder, pouring rain, come on like a hurricane.
Yeah, it was. FEX is everything you wanted to do as a kid.
Right.
But the military just takes the fun out of it.
Oh, in a lot of ways, it does. I like doing lines, not talking about cocaine. I like doing lines for company because, like, especially, I think where it's at is squad leader. When you're on a field, an FTX or FX, whatever, I think where it is probably definitely being squad leader because platoon commander, you got to stay back. You got to stay at the plume pit, blah, blah, blah. Squad leader, you're out there with your guys, and you're kind of running shit, so you kind of dictate what's going on. And how cool you are, how much of an asshole determines who goes back and eats and who chills in the fighting positions and stuff.
Yeah.
And I loved it because I had he retired as a mass chief, but at the time it was Chief Nguyen. Fell asleep, and then there's this SW1 that was his assistant. Platoon commander was a chief, EAC Nguyen, and SW1, they fell asleep, and they had this metal coffee pot that we'd go back to the platoon pit, and we'd get our coffee from them. But when they fell asleep, it was me and this other cat walked over there, and we fucking, you grab one side, I grab the other, and we carried that bitch to my fighting position, and we kept that coffee the rest of the deployment. Nobody said shit, because they know exactly how I got it, because they fucking fell asleep.
Yeah.
So the rest of that FEX, I had the big-ass metal coffee pot in my foxhole, man.
That's hilarious.
It was great, because we had an awesome chaplain at the time, too. He'd walk the lines, and he'd hang out with me, and he'd grab some coffee, and we'd just sit there and chill, and I'd just joke with him and be like, you know there's no God, right? Yeah, just to mess with him. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and then I just give him some shit. And it's like, oh, there's remember when they used to say there's no atheists in foxholes?
Oh, yeah.
That was
atheists
a lie.
In the foxhole.
That's a lie.
That's a whole thing.
There's plenty of them in Humvees as well, you know. It was fun, though. A good guy.
Yeah. Fucking facts. I was driving to work the other day and I saw a bunch of my guys that I was in battalion with driving to Aggressor Fex.
Oh yeah.
Like doing the line haul, like pulling the Humvees up, and I was like, thank God I don't ever have to do that. Thank God I don't ever have to do that again.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Good times. Yeah, Aggressor Fex. What that is basically my battalion's one on my old battalion's on Fex. My old battalion's the one that go on Aggressor Fex. So Fex and Aggressor Fex are the same thing. It's just who's the good guys and who's the bad guys.
Yeah.
The guys going up on that are on there on Fex or FTX, that's an MCP3. And then the guys playing Aggressor Fex, that's just the bad guys. The Op4 people, that's NMCV4. And it's a lot cheaper. They used to have like SEALs and Marines and shit like that. They'd come after us. And we're trying to find helicopter units that were doing training around the same time as us. So that way we could do medevac. You know, did you ever have any helicopter medevacs?
Last facts we did.
Awesome.
Yeah, we had a
helicopter. So you just coordinate with them and you just say, hey, man, basically it's just ops guys talk back and forth like, hey, you're going to do one at noon? Can we just be part of that?
Yeah.
And they want, they want participants as much as we want to participate. We want to get our guys off the field and they want to participate taking somebody somewhere. So
yeah.
It works pretty cool because everybody gets like, oh, I get to be, I'm wounded. Can I be wounded? I want to be wounded. Everybody wants a free helicopter ride.
Yeah.
I want to be wounded because nobody's, half these guys have never seen a helicopter before in real life, let alone be able to ride in one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you're the cool guy for like the next 6 months till Fex. Did you know Joey was in fucking helicopter, man? It's so cool. Wish I was Joey.
Hilarious.
Be like Joey, be injured. All right, anything else, man? Anything you want to plug? Anything?
No, I think I'm good right now.
Fuck yeah, I think I'm good right now.
Yeah, I'm good right now.
All right.
I get it, man. He's fresh out, He's still
dude,
he's still fresh out. Baby, little baby.
Yeah. Welcome to the freedom, man. Thanks for your service, dude.
Thanks.
Doesn't matter if you did 2 years, 1 year, fucking whatever. You did time, you did honorable, you did it right, and then you got out. Fuck it, dude. You did your shit. It's more than what most people do.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. You got anything coming up? Anything you want to plug?
Nah, nothing special. I got nothing special. I mean, if you want, you could follow me on Instagram at AltF4 on Instagram, but I got nothing special coming up. Not for like another month or so. I don't think it comes out.
Okay.
So I'll let you know when it's closer to that time, but
hell yeah.
As of right now, nothing.
Nothing. You got anything you want to plug? Anything coming up? Any tour dates you want to build buildings with?
Nah. Nothing for me.
I'll be at IV building fucking roofs on 1461, 1482, and building 762.
Yeah. You know?
I'm Josh96 O'Brien on Instagram, Twitter, and all the interweb shit. I'm producing the Comedy Store podcast. That's pretty cool. I'm producing the Simply Don the podcast, so that's pretty fun. I'm not producing that one. I'm just an engineer guy.
Yeah, engineering it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just sound guy on that. It's just even easier.
Yeah.
Man. The last one we did was with Brian Moses. That was really fun. Brian. Such a
good dude. He's cool, dude. Brian Moses is the creator of Roast Battle, the one on Comedy Central, in case you ever heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the dude who came up with it, yeah.
Dope. Hell yeah. And it's cool, too, because it talks about how that started in that podcast, too. I named it Master Roast Host.
Yeah, yeah.
And Eleanor was cool with it. So I was like, fuck yeah.
It was a fight between two open mic comics.
Oh, dude, tell it. Yeah, it's a good story.
So basically what it was is that... On a Sunday, or whatever the day was, I believe it was Sunday, they used to do an open mic. Brian Moses used to host an open mic in the Belly Room, which is one of the three rooms here at the Comedy Store.
Uh-huh.
And, there was an argument between two comics that we both know. Like, one of them was a door guy. I'm not going to drop names. One of them was a door guy. One of them wasn't. But both open micers at the same time started getting into an argument with each other. Generally, the arguments between comedians is them yelling at each other about who's funnier and who's not funnier. You're not funny. Fuck you. You're not funny. You're not funny. Fuck you. You're not funny. And so they were getting into, like, this scuffle. They're about to get into a scuffle. But, like, since we both know them, we didn't want them to get banned over something stupid, like a dumb fight. Essentially, what happened was is that they were suggested that instead of fighting, why don't you just take that anger, write some jokes, and just do it on stage. Fuck fighting here. And so it became a thing where they went up. I believe it was the next week. They go up to like essentially roast each other, and it was the fucking worst thing ever. Because they never fucking they didn't write a joke or like anything like that. They were just up there essentially continuing what they were doing downstairs, yelling at each other about who's not funny, you know, just on stage. But then from that, it spawned like a whole thing. You know, like people were like, oh shit, there's potential here. And then somebody started writing essentially, one dude came in with like written jokes, because before people would just go up there, whatever. And then one dude came up with written jokes and murdered people. And then all of a sudden, everybody started writing their own jokes. It became a whole fucking thing. And now it's fucking on Comedy Central.
And yeah, now season three is going to be out. Yeah. And that's fucking badass. You know, they added, they tagged Jeff Ross to it. And then, you know, he believed in it. And he believes in Moses. And he believes in the people doing it. And fuck yeah. Now it's, you know, Jeffrey Ross in the roast battle. But really, it's Brian Moses' production. Because he started that room.
It was him. Like, it was like the people that were out there was like pretty much him. Rel Battle was, he was actually the person who was like, oh, take it up to the belly room. You know, like, so it was kind of like, it was honestly kind of like a mix between both Moses and Rel kind of like making it together. I think the issue ended up being that egos got in the way, I believe it was.
So, as does with comics, because, you know, unlike, you know, military side of the house, is like you check the ego at the door, you know, but you still got the alpha mentality. Mm-hmm. So you're always competing, even though you're supposed to be part of a team.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like here in comics, it's a lot of individuality.
Yeah. You know?
I took Jeff Ross to Slayer last night.
Nice. How was that?
Oh, fucking
love. Oh, yeah. I saw your post.
And then, like, and then on the way back, he was just like, dude, that's one thing I like about how military, because I was talking about if something happened, like, hey, we both were down. We were both like, something fucking happens, man. You know, I got your back, blah, 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 whatever. And I was like, because that's what I love about military, man. You guys are different than most Americans. Like, you guys will actually fight to the death, you know, for each other and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's like, yeah, it's just kind of like, that's what you do.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of bred into us, essentially. Yeah.
So, anything else, man?
Good. That's it, brothers.
All right, let's fucking cap this one off. Hey, man, I just want to say thanks to everybody that I've ever followed. Thanks for making me a better leader. Thanks for everybody I've led for making me a better person. Chris Higgins, thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, if I can. Carlos, as always, I want to say thanks for hanging out and doing this and being an awesome dude. Hopefully soon enough you can be able to talk about the cool shit you got coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and,
for sure.
Definitely, I got to say goodbye to Senior Airman Donald J. Volke. Rest in peace. Passed away May 4th, 2018. And his grandson, he should be proud of his grandson, even though we say fuck you, Volke, all the time. You know, but rest in peace to your gramps, dog. Much love. Thanks for tuning in and listening. I only got four listeners, but all four of you guys are fucking awesome.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
One of them sitting right here.
Yeah. Right? I know. So hopefully he can get like his mom and dad to listen. And then that's two more listeners.
Oh, yeah. We'll two more to, solid listeners.
We'll be up to seven.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right.
Love it.
So that's it. Okay, cool. Play music. Come on, music. Play music.